grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Chris Fowley.
Woohoo. Hello.
G'day, mate. What's going on? You sound like you're not in the room.
Oh, I'm so far away. No, I'm home. I'm doing the right thing. Got a slight sniffle and thought, you know, got to do the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. Stay home.
Put it in the bin. Kind
of. Something like that. Yep. That's exactly right. No, you're right. Put it in the bin.
Put it in. Ooh. Put it in. Remember that jam? Fuck, that was a jam. Hey, what's going on in the cannabis realm?
Well, quite a bit. We've got an interesting study, another place that has changed the law, and some bullshit from here, and then the Sunday paper had a bit of me in it.
Oh,
so
huh.
A bit of everything.
Good photo.
With a photo. Let's start with that. So the old Sunday Star, they gave me a ring, end of last week, and wanted to come down and see the grow, the legal grow, and talk a bit about how the industry is shaping up. That was a bit interesting. It's the first time I think we've had media in there. And so that was good, down at AUT, and if people want to see a picture or two, grab last week's Sunday Star and online. And the gist of it, the headline is Ministry Reviews Regulations as Businesses Fear Bust Amid Slow-Moving Medicinal Cannabis Scheme.
When you say ministry, who's that?
Well, yeah, let's start with the very first word then, ministry. And the next couple, Ministry Reviews Regulations. I suspect that was put into the headline, and the headline was just going to say businesses fear bust, because the ministry is not reviewing the regulations, so the actual headline ain't quite right.
Right.
And that's confirmed in the story, where the ministry actually says they're not going to review the regulations.
Media.
So that's a bit of a, and we've talked about this a bit on the show over the last few weeks, about the need for what they need to change, and so this was good seeing this in the mainstream media, but the Ministry of Health confirming, No, we have no plans to actually review these regulations, but they are going to look at issues around workability and interpretation. And that's actually pretty significant, because I've mentioned before, one of the things in particular that's really holding up both imported products and local people getting going with their grows is this ridiculous limit on microbes, which is taken from a pharmaceutical level rather than a herbal level. There's no products in the world that meet it, and that's why just nothing has been, nothing's appeared here. No imported products, no one able to grow anything locally to meet that standard. Potentially you could irradiate it, you know, nuke it and potentially do it with a very short shelf life, but anyway, there's no products available. That's a matter of interpretation. The ministry, MedSafe, could just choose the higher level that all the other countries in the world went with. And I think that was actually just a mistake. They just mistakenly went with the wrong one. So that's really cool that they are going to look at that. But closing the door to the actual regulatory review that we've all been thinking is going to happen, that's a real concern, I think.
Yeah.
So we've got to keep that pressure up, particularly on the minister, Andrew Little. You know, he just needs to say the word and just tell them to do it, and they'd get on with doing it.
That's epic, eh? Because really, actually, that's what it comes down to. Somebody just taking the initiative.
Is it as simple as a stroke of a pen?
Most things are, really, at some level.
Well, it's never quite that simple, I guess. But there are a couple of things that are, you know, there are some changes where you would just literally change a word or two. But some of those are baked into the regulations. And, you know, to change the regulation, there's a bit of a process. It's normally about 18 months. And you've got to go through a few reviews and things to make sure they're all done properly. And in fact, that's one of the reasons we're in this problem, is that they chopped out some of those. So they got behind on putting out the draft of the medical cannabis scheme. And to make up time, they chucked out or cut out at least one round of consultation. And that meant that all these little fine details were just put into the final version that came out. And then we saw it and went, oh, hang on, that's not quite what we were thinking. But, so I guess looking on the bright side, the ministry is perhaps thinking, well, you know, short of that kind of long process of that 18-month regulatory review, perhaps there are some things we can do right now that could change things. And certainly that microbe level, that would be something that they could just change overnight, and that would actually allow products that you know, consumers can get in Australia and Europe and Canada, you know, those products could start to be imported into New Zealand and made available to patients here.
Nice. Now, Chris, some other big news has been coming out of Taranaki with the synthetic cannabis, which has been killing some people down there.
Can I just Taranaki? Can I? Sorry, mate. Just carry on. Right.
Thank you, Ed. That's right. The reason I brought it up, I guess, is being the marijuana media show, that the headline or the way that News Hub are illustrating the story, Taranaki man arrested over especially dangerous synthetic cannabinoid batches linked to two deaths.
Batches.
And the photo they're using to illustrate it is, of course, a cannabis plant.
Oh, crap. Wait, is this guy making it himself or importing it? When you say batches, it kind of seems like, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, I doubt they'd be making it. It's saying it's 4-FMBDB-BICA,
whatever that is,
a Class C drug, but it's certainly not cannabis.
Yep.
And of course, cannabis has never killed anyone.
So it's still the same kind of...
It does have some adverse effects on, you know, certain times, certain people, all that kind of thing. Everything does.
It's just lazy reporting, just putting a picture of a cannabis plant, you know, like that. It feels like we should be past that.
It does. It really does. So shame on you, News Hub. I just really wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, man.
Shame on you.
Yep, fair enough. For shame.
And then on the good news, so in the shit sandwich of life, we've passed the curd and now we're back into the delicious pastry wrapping. And New Orleans, let's head over there. That's the place of the week. New Orleans just eliminated all penalties for marijuana possession. It used to be a fine there, and now they've just got rid of the fines, and it's nothing at all. And
all right.
If you Mardi smoke Gras in public,
fun.
Though, you might be cited for violating the city's Smoke Free Air Act if you smoke in public, similar to our Smoke Free Environments one here. The cannabis itself is not the problem, it's the public smoking.
Interesting.
And not only have they done that, they've wiped criminal records. Excuse me, anyone busted after... 2010 for marijuana possession has been automatically wiped. I think they're going to go back further and do the other ones, but they're the easy ones, I guess, in their system that they can wipe. And it's interesting that the actual head of New Orleans, which is called the city council president, said this was about rebuilding trust with the New Orleans Police Department.
Kapai.
Good on them, eh?
Yeah,
so,
man.
When we're able to, head over to New Orleans.
It's the state's just going from strength to strength, but the federal, where's the federal situation at?
Well, that's happening too. There's a law, a bill got put in, and it was Chuck Schumer and a couple of other senior senators, and this is the Senate Majority Leader has put it in, and it's modelled on the Moore Act, which we've spoken about before. The name of this new one escapes me, but it's very focused on social equity and social justice and righting wrongs. But really, it just clears the federal government out of the way and lets the states decide their own laws and gets rid of those sort of things. But I think I mentioned this before, it's similar to what they've done with some of the worst war on drug stuff in the 80s, where they set the states... If you don't put in mandatory minimums and three-strike laws and put people in jail for life for a joint, you know, if you don't do that, we're going to take away all your highway funding and all your other school funding and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so they didn't tell people they had to do it, but they, you know, if you want the money, you kind of had to. Well, this law does the opposite.
Great.
If a state decides to retain prohibition, then the federal government will withhold a whole lot of funding from them.
Is the
which I think is pretty cool.
Just while we're on this topic, Chris, for a while they're sort of in the beginning of the legalization sort of scene, I guess you'd say. The federal government would step in every once in a while and like just randomly bust places. Is that happening anymore, or have they just kind of dropped off that whole sort of vibe?
Yeah, that's really dropped off.
Yeah,
that's
coming, eh?
Yeah, ever since Obama, really. The DEA under Obama put out a memo just saying if the state law is what it is, then you know, don't bust them unless they're doing something interstate or, you know, criminal organizations involved and that kind of thing.
Cool.
And Trump just kind of continued it, let it stand, and here we are. So You know, I think everyone's expecting Biden to perhaps put out another memo that goes even more explicit. But yeah, those kind of random busts have really kind of stopped over there. There was a big trade fair last weekend in Las Vegas, and people thought it was all being raided by the DEA, and it blew up all over Twitter. And it turned out it was just some local official inspecting some minor thing. And
how many states have relaxed their laws on cannabis?
Pardon? What was that, sorry?
How many states so far in the US have relaxed their laws on cannabis?
Feels like it's up in the 30s or something now.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you count all cannabis, it's all but two, you know, if you're counting medical. And if you're counting adult use legal, I think it's 16, I think. I stand to be corrected on that. But it's something like half the adult population of the states now, because the states that have done it have got big populations, or they tend to. So, you know, it's about half of America now are living in states where it's legal for adults to go into a shop and purchase cannabis.
Rad.
Nice. Now, Chris, do you have a study of the week for us?
Study of the week. Well, I think this will be quite applicable to a lot of people, because a lot of people use cannabis for pain relief. And in fact,
put my hand up.
In that article in the Sunday Star, that was one of the things they just got slightly wrong. It's been corrected on the online version, but they had me saying that there were 250,000 New Zealanders suffering from chronic pain, and about 2,000 to 3,000 were using medical cannabis for that. And so that's what's in the print version. It's been corrected in the online version. It's actually about 800,000 New Zealanders have chronic pain.
Oh.
There's about 250,000 New Zealanders use medicinal cannabis, according to the Ministry of Health. Well, they're using cannabis therapeutically, according to the Ministry of Health. But if you look at the prescription numbers, it's about 2,000 to 3,000 have accessed cannabis legally for all purposes. You know, and the number one is pain, but that's for all put together. It's about 2,000 to 3,000. So it's about 1%. Of the number who are actually using it already are getting access to it legally, and the rest are you know, having to grow their own or go to green fairies or other, you know, illicit sources and so on. But anyway, this study, what it was showing, this actually came out of Israel, and it tracked, I think it's 1,000 people, and they tracked them for a year of using their medical cannabis. It's very widely prescribed over there and very easily prescribed.
Right.
Very good data collection in Israel, where they really monitor it, and so they're just churning out all these studies and things.
Cool.
And most of the people were consuming their cannabis by smoking, so they weren't having kind of any kind of fancy, you know, pharmaceutical preparations and things. But what they found is that their pain intensity on average went down by 20%, and for anyone suffering pain, you know, any reduction is huge, but 20% is great. And but almost half of them who had been using analgesics, like opioids, you know, of course opioids come with the risk of overdose and death, but almost half of them were no longer using any of these analgesics or opioids by the end of that 1 year. And the opioid use across the board went down. So this is yet another really good high-quality study showing that if people have got access to medicinal cannabis, then their use of far more risky and dangerous pharmaceuticals can drop. And for something like an opioid, where it does have that real risk of an overdose if you take the wrong amount, you know, you might have a bottle of 100 on your bedside or who knows, but you take the wrong amount. Well, if your dose can be less because of your medical cannabis, then you're further away from that overdose point, and that's what makes it safer. You know, you can. Other studies have shown that people's use of opioids can drop typically by a half, and so you know, if you're on half the strength of that opioid than what you would have otherwise been, that's got to be a lot safer. But certainly, you know, this study showing that around half of this the study completely stopped the use of those opioids thanks to their medicinal cannabis.
Brilliant.
Nice one, Chris. And anything happening at the hemp store in the next couple of days?
Oh, you've caught me off guard there. We're waiting on some new shipments of stuff. We've got to say, you know, thanks all our customers have been very patiently waiting, but there's, you know, supply chains and COVID and all that affects even us, but we've got some more shipments coming. And that's good. I haven't thought of a special or anything, to be honest, but
that's all right. We're just checking in.
It's all happening there on K Road, I tell you. It's all happening. And what did I make the other day that was quite nice? The old hemp milk coffees. There's a fairly new thing we're doing. That's quite nice if you want a nutritious coffee on your way through K Road. Stop by for a hemp milk coffee.
Nice one. Yeah. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I picked up some hemp seed oil, like kind of like a fish oil, but a hemp one.
Get rid of that rash, John.
No, even.
I must say, it's been bloody good. I think I prefer it.
You found your...
That's right.
Were you rubbing it on?
No.
Getting rid of the pimples on the bottom or something?
What's just, you know,
yeah. And you don't smell like sardines anymore.
Save the oceans.
Chris, you're a legend, mate. Thanks so much. And get some honey down that throat or whatever you need to do, and we'll see you next week.
I will. Some honey oil. Yeah, thank you very much. And, yeah, I'll see you next week, hopefully.
See you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
All right. Yep.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with